Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madin channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss Parables of Forgiveness. It is stated in a beautiful hadith that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wasallam. Dear viewers, it's mentioned in a book, Hikayatne aur Nasihatne, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, that Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mounted the pulpit and he was delivering a speech to people. His bayan brought about intense fear of divine punishment. He scolded them for committing sins. He had shaken up people left in a very worried state. A sinful young man who was also present in that gathering and was deeply troubled due to his sins and contemplating about his death and being lowered into the grave. Upon returning, it seemed that his heart was greatly influenced by that powerful bayan and speech. He now had deep remorse for his sins and sincerely repented. He presented himself before his mother and requested, "Oh, my dear mother, you wanted me to abandon disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal and wicked fun and pleasure. I give it all up today." He added that, "I attended the blessed congregation of Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar, rahimahullah, and regret sinning." His mother said, "My dear son, all praises are due to Allah Azza wa Jal, who has made you return gracefully towards righteousness and pulled you away from sins. And I have a firm conviction that due to my crying in your favor, Allah Azza wa Jal has certainly bestowed mercies upon you and favor you by accepting you." She then asked, "Dear son, what was your condition whilst listening to this thought-provoking speech?" He replied that he recited some verses of poetry, and then the young man says that, "I begged for repentance and I have become obedient. I scolded myself. My heart was unlocked when the speaker drew the attention of my heart towards the divine obedience. My dear mother, will my Lord Almighty accept me despite my sinful life? It is unfortunate that if my Lord Azza wa Jal makes me return with failure and frustration, or does not allow me to be present in his court, then I will be destroyed." The young man would observe fast during the day and would stay awake, engaging in worship during the nights. He became weak and frail. His bones had dried and his color went pale. His mother once brought a bowl of a blend of cereal powder and said to him that, "I make you swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, drink this. Your body has gone through a great struggle." Obeying his mother, when he took the bowl in his hand, he started crying anxiously and began to remember the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, translation from Kanzul Iman, "He will sip it with difficulty but be unable to swallow." He then broke down into tears and fell on the ground. He passed away on the spot. Dear brothers, have you seen a young man occupied in committing sins? He attended the gathering, the congregation, and listened to the thought-provoking bayan which had brought such a Madani revolution in his heart that he engaged in worship and devotion all night long. He would observe fast in the day, and even after seeking true repentance, he would always feel the regret over his past sins due to the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. He departed from this world in the same condition. Through this parable, we have learned that attending a blessed gathering is a great privilege, bringing abundant reward, where different people are privileged to seek forgiveness. We should also attend the Sunnah-inspiring Ijtima of Da'wat Islami, as well as collective participation in Madani Muzakara, that is, the questions will be asked to His Eminence Amir al-Sunnah Da'wat Barakatuhu al-Aliyah, to that he provides the Sharia guidance with regards to different types of questions. Alhamdulillah, these blessed gatherings contain the Madani bouquet of the recitation of the glorious Quran, recitation of Naat and poetry in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a sunnah inspiring bayan, a speech, a deep emotional and touching dua, salatu salam, and Madani pearls of Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliya, which are full of wisdom and inspiration. These blessed congregations are not only the source of acquiring ilm-e-deen, but they are also, subhanAllah, great source of learning the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, along with earning virtues, seeking forgiveness for sins, and acting upon the sunnah. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all tawfiq to partake in these gatherings. Ameen bijahin nabiyyin ameen. Dear viewers, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal are countless and infinite. He Azza wa Jal forgives all the wrongdoings of His bondsmen. Therefore, we should also refrain from committing sins. And if we have done so, then seek sincere repentance. Remember that sincere repentance is only achieved if we act upon its three conditions. What are the conditions of a sincere repentance? The first condition is to feel regret over past sins. The second condition is to abandon the sins. And the third condition is to making a firm resolution not to commit that sin again or any other sin. Ala Hazrat Imam al-Sunnat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatur rahman, he has stated that true repentance means immediately abandoning the sin, having deep regret and remorse for having done the sin, and acknowledging that the sin is disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, and to make a firm intention and resolution to never commit it again and carry out possible recompense and kafara for it. So, keeping in view the conditions of repentance, we should never stop repenting. If any sin is committed, with humility and humbleness, immediately seek forgiveness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. If it is committed again, then seek forgiveness again. And subhanAllah, there are many narrations and many parables which inspire us to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One such beautiful incident that is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it is mentioned that there used to be a person in the nation of Bani Israel. And this person had committed so many grave sins and gunahe kabira, that is the major sin. Committing a murder is a major sin. It is not a minor sin. And he had committed 99 murders. And after committing the 99 murders, this sinner, he wanted to repent of his sins. And then he went to a monk. And he asked him, is there forgiveness for somebody like me? Remember that he had this will to change, to reform, to repent. And this person told him, you have committed 99 murders, there is no forgiveness for you. Allahu Akbar. And then this person, in that rage, he murdered that individual as well. Now the number has reached 100. And then later on, he met a scholar. He met a scholar, and this scholar told him, this alim told him, that yes, you can be forgiven, there is forgiveness for you. repent sincerely and go to a place where they are pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engaging in devotion, in worship, go and join them. And while he was on his way, this was at the time of his death, and he passed away on the way there. Now, the angels of mercy, they came to take his soul, and on the other hand, the angels of punishment also came, and there was a disagreement of both the groups of angels. And the matter was then presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal said, and he declared that if the distance from where he was coming to where he was going, if the distance of where he was coming is closer than the distance where he was going to, then he must be, the angels of punishment must take him. Meaning, if the distance to his destination is longer, then the angels of punishment must take him. And if the distance from him where he passed away and to where he was going, the destination of the pious people, if that is closer, then the angels of mercy must take him. Allahu Akbar. In some narrations, it is also mentioned that at the end, he crawled to the land, closer to the land of the destination, subhanallah. And through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it was measured, the distance between him and his destination was closer than the distance between him and the beginning of the journey, subhanallah. And as a result, the angels of mercy, they took him. Look at how Allah azza wa jal, he favors those who repent in his court. And subhanallah, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was taken in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of bearing the wrath of Allah azza wa jal. And look at where he was going. He was going to join the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to join in the worship of Allah azza wa jal. So all of this is for us to take lesson. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention to us many, many accounts of the nation of Bani Israel, the previous nation. The Holy Quran mentions the account, so we can take nasiha from there. We can learn from there. Sayyidina Rabi'a bin Usman Taymi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has narrated that there was a very great sinner whose day and night passed by in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal intended good for him and made him realize his wrongdoings. And when Allah Azza wa Jal intends good for his bondman, he blesses him with the privilege of regret and repentance. Allah Azza wa Jal granted mercy to this individual. He was then deeply ashamed of his sins. The curtains of negligence lifted from his eyes, and he pondered over his many, many sins and decided that now he should seek repentance in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hence, he said to his wife that I am going to repent from all my past sins and seek forgiveness in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He Azza wa Jal is the most merciful and the most gracious. He will certainly forgive me. I am now going in search of such a person who is able to intercede on my behalf. And then saying this, he set out towards the desert. Upon reaching a deserted place, he called out loudly, O earth, you be my intercessor in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. O sky, you be my intercessor in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. O innocent angels of Allah, at least you intercede for me. He continued crying and saying to everything to intercede for him. Finally, due to excessive crying, he fell unconscious. He stumbled and fell onto the ground. And his method of repentance over sins was accepted graciously, and an angel was sent towards him who picked him up, dusted his head, and then he said, O bondman of Allah, I have glad tidings for you. Your repentance has been accepted in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Upon this, he became overjoyed and said, May Allah have mercy upon you, who would intercede for me in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Who will be my intercessor there? The angel replied, Your fear of Allah is such a blessed action, which itself will be your intercessor. And this admired method of repentance of yours also will intercede for you in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Thousands of praises for this young man, that he was completely overpowered by the fear of being ashamed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to all his sins, he then sought true repentance and went in search of his intercessor to intercede for him in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Through one of the angels, Allah Azza wa Jal sent him the glad tidings of accepting his repentance. Surely, those fortunate ones who truly attain the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, may they remain in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and in private places, in every condition and state, and they try to refrain from committing sins. Dear brothers, indeed the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plays an important part in the salvation of the hereafter, because the fear of Allah azza wa jal is a great source of motivation to perform worship and to refrain from forbidden acts. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has stated that Rasul Hikmati Makhafatullah, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is the source of wisdom. Therefore, it is sheer foolishness to fall prey to negligence by indulging in worldly pleasures and pursuits. Remember, our salvation lies in acting upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should accumulate virtues and refrain from committing sins. The fear of Allah azza wa jal is the most crucial part for a Muslim in order to achieve this great aim, as it is stated in the sacred Quran, "And fear me if you have faith." Commenting on this verse of the Holy Quran, Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has stated that iman and faith implies that a bondman should have the fear of Allah azza wa jal alone. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that Allah azza wa jal would say, "Take those out of the fire who would have ever remembered me or were absorbed in my fear at any place." The greatest and the holiest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, "The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything fears him. And one who fears anything other than Allah azza wa jal, Allah Azza wa Jal makes him afraid of everything." Allah Allah. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes fear of the hidden plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, fear of his autonomy, fear of his displeasure, fear of his severity, fear of his punishments, fear of divine wrath, as well as fear of losing faith, iman, etc., are all part of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a detailed information regarding the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, as to what the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what is the highest level of fear, the lower level of fear, and the minimum level of fear one should have, the result of fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of fearing Allah, virtues of crying with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, method of acquiring the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, fear of Allah Azza wa Jal that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sayyidul Anbiya, the noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, possessed, and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal of the blessed angels, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal of the blessed saints rahimahumullahu ta'ala, and along with some verses on how to increase the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should definitely read Hiya Ulumuddin Volume 4, which is a publication of Maktabatul Madina, inshallah azza wa jal. You'd be greatly amazed as to how Hujjatul Islam Imam Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala would guide you and take you closer and enable you and inshallah azza wa jal inspire you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To just read or listen to the reality of the grave, the hereafter, the Day of Judgment, then being afraid and shedding some tears are not sufficient. Along with these actions, carrying out practical requirements, abandoning sins and obeying Allah Azza wa Jal are extremely important acts for seeking success in the hereafter. Those who refrain from committing sins due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives them and makes them His beloved and favorite bondmen. If you was, let's inshallah Azza wa Jal listen about the parable regarding Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, a great scholar of Islam. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he wasn't an ordinary person. And he fell in love with a slave girl who was so infatuated by her that once he waited outside her house in the extreme cold just to have a look at her. He stood all night long till dawn. He later came to his senses and regretted having wasted the entire night for the slave girl, and he gained nothing in result. If only this night would be spent in praying and worshipping, how good would that be? This thought had brought about an overwhelming transformation in his heart, and a Madani revolution took place in his life. He, rahimahullah, made sincere repentance. He got rid of the love of that slave girl that he had, and he attained the high status of wilayat and sainthood in a very short period of time. Allah Azza wa Jal elevated his majesty and dignity to such an extent that once his mother approached an orchard in search of him, she saw him sleeping and a snake was driving the flies away from his blessed body. Allah, Allah, subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon them and forgive us for their sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Yes, so the fire of love smoldering in the heart of a young man, and how Allah Azza wa Jal showered His mercy upon him. He sought true repentance, and then he devoted himself in the divine love and attained the status of sainthood. Mundane and artificial love is such that it is such a strange thing that one who gets caught in it just once, his escape from it is very difficult. These days, there is a rapid growing trend of mundane love. The main cause of it is that most Muslims do not have essential knowledge and are drifting away from a religious environment. This has also caused a flood of sins everywhere. Watching and reading love stories and dramas on TV and internet, etc., reading novels, monthly magazines, digests, romantic fictions, and exaggerated love tales related and scandals of such nature published in the newspapers, attending co-educational classes where there is mixing of sexes, and in the universities especially, and freely mixing with men and women, meeting and talking to non-mahram relatives without any form of parda or veil, are the causes of mundane love amongst the youth of today. At first, love begins from one side. When the other person is informed about it, sometimes they also fall in love, and this leads to a severe storm of sins. These then go to different lengths, and if we were to look at the life of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, how he was also once infatuated, and then after that Allah Azza wa Jal guided him. He actually got to realize his mistake, that the true love should be shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he devoted himself to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was ardently in love with his divine creator after that. And once that happened, his mother, she came to call him from a orchard where he was sleeping. And subhanallah, once you are devoted to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the creation subservient to you. In this case, the snake was chasing away the flies from him while he slept. Subhanallah, snake, which is a harmful animal that is supposed to harm you, it was protecting even from flies, which is not, flies are not really harmful. But subhanallah, This is what happens once you are engrossed in the divine love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are five things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about. Is that one loves my way should act upon my sunnah. Nikah is also my sunnah. A woman is married for four things: for her wealth, for her family status, for her beauty, and for her deen. So you should prefer the one who has deen, subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us in this regard. Yes, instead of falling into infatuations and so on, then rather marry a woman for the sake of her deen, inshallah azza wa jal. And may Allah azza wa jal grants prosperity in the nikah and the marriage of our Muslim brothers and sisters. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sayyidina Salih Murri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that a girl who used to play musical instrument, the girl passed by a qari, a reciter of the Holy Quran, who was reciting a verse of the Holy Quran. And he recited this verse, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. And indeed hell surrounds the disbelievers. Having listened to the blessed verse, she threw away the musical instrument that she was playing. She screamed loudly, fell unconscious and collapsed on the ground. Upon regaining her senses, she broke the musical instrument that was called a sitar, and she broke that instrument right away and then deeply engaged herself in worshipping and devotion to such an extent that she became popular as a girl who was pious and ascetic, subhanallah. And I once said to her, be gentle on yourselves, go easy on yourself. Listening to this, she cried and replied, only if I come to know how the dwellers of hell would come out of their graves, how will they cross the bridge of Sirat, how will they attain safety from the horrors of the hereafter, how will they drink the boiling water, and how will they be able to bear the divine wrath. Saying that, she again fell unconscious and collapsed on the ground. Upon regaining her senses, she prayed to Allah Azza wa Jalla, O Allah, I disobeyed you in my youth, and now obeying your commands in this state of weakness, will you accept my worship? She took a deep sigh and said, alas, many people will be exposed on the day of judgment. The faults, all of their faults, all of their sins will be exposed on the day of judgment. Then she gave a piercing scream and burst into tears. Her deep lamenting and cries overpowered all the people who were present there to such an extent that they all fell unconscious. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, this girl who played the musical instrument was overwhelmed by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that she repented of her sins and engaged herself in worshipping and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so unfortunate that songs and instruments of music and amusements have left the majority of Muslims heedless of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Music has seeped into the veins of so many Muslims. It has dominated everything, whether it is a car or aeroplane, truck, bus, taxi, bike, an animal-driven cart, house or shop, factory or a warehouse, whether it's a hotel, stall or a barber shop, amongst almost everything, blast out music. Even a baby opens his eyes listening to music and songs as a toy is hung up on his cradle, which plays music and makes him sleep. This is the reason why many unfortunate ones cannot sleep until songs are played. In whatever toy it is, whether a doll, a train, plane, even some fancy shoes, music is played. Then how do we expect this child to be saved from the curse of music growing up? This is something for us to think about as parents, as guardians. Music is an invention of shaitan. Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajveri, rahimahullah ta'ala, has narrated in this connection that Allah Azza wa Jal had granted Prophet Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam a very beautiful and melodious voice. Even the mountains would sway when hearing his perfect voice. Birds would fall to the ground as they flew above in the skies. Animals and beasts would hear his voice and come out of the jungle. Trees would begin to sway from side to side. Flowing rivers would come to a standstill. Wild animals of the jungle would stop eating and drinking up to a month. Small children would stop crying and asking for milk. And sometimes people would die due to the intense feeling of passion that his voice transferred into their hearts and minds. Once 100 women died just by hearing his melodious voice. This method of preaching worried Satan immensely. So he invented the flute and the tambura. It is a musical instrument that has a string, and began to play them. Day in, day out, people divided into two groups. Those who were fortunate continued listening to the melodious voice of Sayyidina Dawood ala Nabiyina alayhi salatu wasalam, but those who had gone astray were inclined towards the satanic musical instruments and satanic songs. Music is definitely an invention of Shaitan. This fact is also supported by this narration mentioned in Tafsirat Ahmadiyya, which further strengthens this standpoint that the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated. It was Satan who mourned and sang a song before everyone else. We come to know that Shaitan is the inventor of music and songs, and listening to music and songs is as good as following into his footsteps. Listening to this narration should actually open our eyes. So inshallah azawajal, listen to some narrations in connection with the condemnation of music and songs. It is mentioned that two voices are despised in the world and in the hereafter. Number one, music at the time of a ni'mah, a bounty of Allah. And number second is screaming at the time of trouble. Two things are despised in the world and in the hereafter. In the second narration, it is mentioned that Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Ash-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, keep away from music because it incites the feelings of lust, destroys shame, and it intoxicates like wine. The third narration where it's mentioned, if anyone sits near a singer and listens to her carefully, Allah Azza wa Jal will pour molten lead into his ears on the day of resurrection. And in the fourth hadith, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, song and play, lahu, anything that makes you neglectful of virtual actions, they grow hypocrisy in the hearts as water grows greenery. I swear by the one in whose supremacy is my life. Indeed, the Quran and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal make faith grow in the heart as water grows grass. Allah. By listening to these narrations, we come to know that listening to music is haram, leading to hell. But unfortunately, our modern thinkers and intellectuals and lovers of music have termed this as fun and pleasure, and they call it food for the soul. Whereas this horrible thing is a cause of heedlessness, and it prevents one from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a food for the soul at all, rather it destroys spirituality. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a food for the soul, as it is stated in the blessed Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَعِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Pay heed, only in the remembrance of Allah is satisfaction to the hearts. Salah is a food for the soul, and this too is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, as it is stated in the blessed Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and keep the prayer established for my remembrance. Music and songs are not the food for the soul. Rather, they ruin spirituality. They kill the pleasure of salah and acts of worship. Destroy modesty and chastity. And it encourages Muslim women to unveil. Indeed, calling it as food for the soul is something satanic. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from the destruction of music and songs and privilege us to make the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, reciting the blessed Quran and reciting Naat Sharif. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Sayyidina Ibrahim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that it was winter and I was sitting at the entrance of the masjid. Someone passed by me who was wearing two rags. I thought to myself, he may be a beggar and that it should be better if he could earn with his own hands. When I fell asleep, I saw two angels descending. They grabbed me by the arm and took me to the same masjid. There was someone sleeping and covering himself with two rags. When one of the blankets were taken off, I was surprised to see that he was the same person who had passed by me. The angels then asked me, "Eat his flesh." I said, "I did not commit backbiting against him." They replied, "You did. You thought bad of him in your heart and felt he was lower in rank than you and you were unhappy with him." I then woke up and was trembling out of fear. I stayed at the entrance of the same masjid for 30 consecutive days. I would only get up for Fard Salah and kept praying to see the same person so I could ask him to forgive me. 1 month later, I saw the mysterious person wearing two ragged sheets. I immediately rushed to catch up with him. He started walking fast after he saw me following him. I then loudly called out to him, "O bondman of Allah, I want to talk to you." He replied, "O Ibrahim, are you one of those who backbite in their hearts against true believers?" He says, "I fainted after hearing him reveal the unseen about me. When I got back up, I saw the person standing by me. He asked, 'Would you do it again?' I replied to him, 'No, I will never do it again.' Then that mysterious man disappeared from my view and I never saw him again." Allah. We have learned so many beautiful Madani pearls with regards to the parables of forgiveness. And subhanAllah, there is so much to learn from these parables. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straighten our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straighten our ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a heart that repents. Grant us those eyes that cry in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Grant us the modesty and humility to cry in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and to lower ourselves in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil. Dear viewers, we have a beautiful kalam. Together with that, we also have nasiha inshallah Azza wa Jal. Let's go listen to them and thereafter we shall be back and continue with today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Nadaram juz tu mal jae, nadanam juz tu mawae, nadanam juz tu mal jae, nadanam juz tu mawae. خود ساز و سامانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم،
یا
اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
شہاب کس نوازی کن، طبیبا جار سازی کن، شہاب کس نوازی کن، طبیبا چارہ سازی کن، مریض درد عصیانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، مریض درد عصیانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
اگر رانی و گر خانی، غلامم من تا سلطانی، اگر رانی و گر خانی، غلامم من تا سلطانی، دیگر چیزیں نمی دانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، دیگر چیزیں نمی دانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
یا رسول
پریشانم پریشانم،
انظر
اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
گناہ درجا نماتش زد، قیامت شولا می خیزد، گناہ درجا نماتش زد، قیامت شولا می خیزد، مدد اے آب حیوانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، مدد اے آب حیوانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
چمر غم نخل جا سوزد، بہارم را خزاں سوزد، چمر غم نخل جا سوزد، بہارم را خزاں سوزد، نریزد برگ ایمانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، نریزد برگ ایمانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پر أغثني يا رسول الله
يا رسول الله محشر فتنہ انگیزت بلائے بے اماخی زد چو محشر فتنہ انگیزت بلائے بے اماخی زد بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
یا پریشانم
پریشانم
دستگیری کن
یا رسول اللہ
گدائے آمد اے سلطان با امید کرم نالا نالا تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
رضایت سائل بے پر گھر رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنہر شہاب ہر عزی خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ شہاب ہر عزی خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم
یا
اغثنی
اللہ Islam teaches us to be good to one and all. This means that even if someone isn't good to us, doesn't treat us in the best way, we should still be good to that person. And these are the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. He said, forgive the one who wrongs you. Mend ties with the one who cuts off ties with you. Give to the one who deprives you. Give to the one who deprives you. Look at these teachings. But how far are we from these teachings today? Someone gives to us, we'll give to them. Someone deprives us, we try our hardest to deprive them as well. We don't forgive those who wrong us. We cut off ties. The minutest of things, trivial matters. Look at the teachings of Islam. Do good to others. Inshallah, that good will come back to you in ways that you cannot even imagine.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Welcome back to your viewers, subhanallah. You are listening to this beautiful kalam, Bakari Khesh, Hairanam Aghithni, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written and composed by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. And together with that, we also got to listen to a beautiful nasiha. Alhamdulillah, we were speaking of the parables of forgiveness. And we do need to seek the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sheikh Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki al-Shafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he says that the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala signifies that we should not look down upon anyone with disrespect. It is possible that the one whom we look down upon actually has a better and higher status in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has stated that there are several people who are in a dejected state. Their hair is scattered and their clothes are worn out. No one cares about them. But if they were to swear by Allah Azza wa Jal's name on any matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill their words. Subhanallah, subhanallah, yes. So always be mindful. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, if we have done that to somebody, looked at somebody with contempt, then seek forgiveness inshallah Azza wa Jal. And this is the beautiful teaching and the value of Islam. Forgive and forget. As subhanAllah, if you have committed a mistake, then seek forgiveness. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal is all merciful. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic.